Welcome to Open Ends. I'm your host, Josh Herrick.
And I'm your other host, Will Dixon.
Before we begin this episode, I would like to wish my co-host, Will Dixon, a very happy birthday. This Sunday, me and Will are talking about sexuality and gender, from questioning labels coming out and the public perception on it. Our two guests today are Zara Hall and Eleanor Jackson, who are both New College Pontefract students, so hopefully today we will be able to get a bit of a discussion, a bit of a debate going. So just to kick off the discussion, where does sexuality start in the self? Where does it begin in terms of questioning?
So for me, I know a lot of people always say, you know, it's stuff that they've always known about themselves, and the thing that sort of, you know, how it was with me, because I was diagnosed with ASD at a young age, so I always knew that something, you know, wasn't quite like, not normal, but like, I wasn't the same as, you know, other students around me. And I sort of put that down to my ASD diagnosis, but then like further on I sort of started questioning, you know, now I know all my like little quirks that go with my ASD, this like sexuality part is completely different from it. And that was how I sort of came to my sexuality. Yeah.
Eleanor, would you mind sharing your experiences with questioning?
Yeah, I think for me, it was never something that I really thought about when I was, you know, very young. I don't think it was something that I thought, you know, I'd always known since I was like 7 or whatever. I think for me it was more, the more I was exposed to things and the more I learned about different parts of the spectrum, different sorts of sexualities, that then I was able to think, right, okay, so I think maybe, you know, I actually do have an attraction towards women, or I actually do have an attraction towards people other than just whoever fits in the gender binary system. And I think that that was then, after having those discussions and being able to really think about who I am, that was when I, you know, started questioning and then going beyond that and stuff. So,
I mean, I can definitely echo what you said about finding out more about sexuality when you learn more about the world. For example, I discovered that I was bisexual when I found out that sexuality wasn't fixed. It, you know, it is a spectrum and it's fluid and it changes over time. I thought that, oh, if I realise I'm bisexual, that's it, I'm bisexual for the rest of my life. That's not the case. You're attracted to who you're attracted to, and it's just listening to yourself and being accepting of yourself that is the biggest step, I think, to the questioning process. It definitely was for me. I don't know about any of you. But in terms of self-exploration, how did it sound to you, kind of the conversations that were going on with yourself at the time?
So in terms of like sexuality, it was more, I was very open to, you know, feeling that I, you know, like different genders. In terms of like gender expression, I think that's something that I've kind of thought about more in more recent years, more recent like months and everything. And at the beginning, I probably wasn't as open to the idea of exploring different like gender identities because of just sort of the, with the way the world is at the minute, people are more open to sexualities than they are gender identities. So I think that also made me a little bit reserved in wanting to explore myself.
I would say a similar thing. I think that a lot of the time there's sort of a hesitation to kind of feel like you can explore, or feel like that's something that you know, I think a lot of people feel like they can't identify with something because they feel like they have this inability to change and this inability to think, okay, well, you know, maybe I think I'm bisexual at some point, and then in later years think that they then can't come out as, you know, lesbian or pansexual or anything else because they feel like they've already identified themselves as something and they would get some sort of judgment from that or anything like that. So I think a lot of the time they're quite reserved conversations, and they're things that people necessarily think that they, you know, perhaps don't know enough about or can't say enough about to properly be able to explore themselves fully. So I think they're definitely difficult to have, but as long as you know, you're trusting with people that you're talking to and stuff like that, then it definitely makes it a lot easier.
How did you both sort of start questioning then? What triggered it? Was it something that you saw in the media? Was it parents? Was it school?
I'm going to be honest, it was probably like female celebrities, you know. my bisexual awakening was probably like Scarlett Johansson as well. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think a similar thing. Yeah. I think it was the more you're exposed to things. So I think a lot of it is through media and through films, things like that. So I think a lot of that is... and I also just think knowing people in general and knowing people that are closer to you that obviously might start experiencing similar things, and that you then feel like because they're talking about it, you know, perhaps you then start to think, well, what if that's me as well? And I think exposure to people that you really know obviously aids that as well.
I think my questioning process started out when I had a trip to Edinburgh, and I was a lot younger than I am now, but I had never experienced such a big city environment. I'd never been around so many people. And I saw all of these men and women and non-binary people, and it was so new to me. And I was attracted to so many people, and I was like, maybe I'm not straight. maybe, you know. So, yeah, for me personally, it was a personal experience, and not seeing, you know, things on the media or celebrities. Yeah. But it definitely kick-started that. Hold on a second.
So how does it... So most people assume that everyone is straight, I think, out the bat. I always think, how can we change that so that people can be more open? Do we say that no one is anything at the start and then they can choose a path? Or do we assume that everyone's gay from the start? And what should we do?
The problem with, you know... us living in like a very heteronormative society is it's very difficult to get away from it, and once we start, you know, trying to move towards, you know, being more open and not assuming before we meet people, you know, you enter the sort of area where people start thinking, you know, this is a political thing, you're doing this to like further an agenda and everything, and it gets really you know, like it's quite a toxic environment once it gets to that point, and I think it will be hard for us as a society to get past sort of our heteronormativity.
Yeah, I agree. I think because, you know, I hate using the word normal, but I think because like heterosexuality has always been, you know, the normal, it's obviously something that's very hard to get out of. I think in terms of like things that you can do, I think, you know, trying to refer to people that you don't know always as they, them and things like that, and trying to, you know, move away from just assuming that everybody is, you know, the gender or the sex that they identify with on the exterior, and that, you know, trying to incorporate thinking, you know, well, what if they aren't straight and you're just assuming that they're going to want to be with this person or something like that. And just trying to think about different ways that you can, you know, stop judging from what people are just expressing themselves as in general. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we talk about heteronormative ideas in society, we must also acknowledge that there also comes pressure from family, and it is because this heteronormative idea is so... kind of perpetuated in society, and it's rooted so deeply in most people's minds. It's not just seeing posts on social media saying, you know, assuming everybody is straight. It's also grandma at the dinner table asking if you've got a boyfriend yet, or asking if I've got a girlfriend yet, when, you know, in a lot of times that's not the case. So have any of you ever felt the pressure of family?
I'm very lucky to have two really accepting parents. I know I'm not necessarily out to my parents yet, but I know when the time comes when I want to come out to them, they'll be completely supportive. And I know a lot of people don't have that, and I can completely understand where the reluctance to come out because of unsupportive family members comes from, because it can be very difficult to have that pressure put onto you.
Yeah, and I think with that, a lot of people don't realise that they don't necessarily have to come out to their family. And I think a lot of people obviously do want to and do feel like they want to express that side of them, but there is never any pressure to do so. And that, you know, personally with me, obviously I have come out to my parents, and they both were luckily very like accepting of who I am. But I think there's definitely family members that, you know, would say the odd homophobic or kind of, you know, even just like racist like remarks, you know, just as if they were normal and if they were okay to say. So I definitely think that that's something that makes people more hesitant, because they think that people are going to hate them for who they are as part of their family, rather than just necessarily the fact that because it's so ingrained into society that they consider those things normal. So I think that's what's hard.
Another thing that I think makes coming out so scary is that you've got the experience of coming out, and that almost, in a way, finalises something, it finalises your identity. But as we've discussed before, gender and sexuality are very fluid things. So I've experienced in the past where I've come out to people and then I've experienced the process of questioning again. And I've changed my label so many times, I probably can't even count. But how do you feel, or what would you say to people listening that are going through that process of coming out, or like Yuzara, who is thinking about coming out to their family?
I think, you know, my advice would just be, you know, trust yourself, and you know, you're never in the wrong to question about maybe something that you've thought was like final for you before. It's always okay to just, you know, have a little questioning, you know. Like there's no issue with it. Like if that is going to make you feel more comfortable with yourself, then absolutely go for it.
I definitely think making sure that you feel safe in doing so as well. I think that, you know, if you're in a household that you know are very, you know, like rejecting of, you know, people that are a different sexuality or gender, to make sure that you feel like you're safe enough to do that, and to make sure that you know that you can always change, and no matter what you do decide that you're going to change to, you will always find somewhere that will accept you, and you always find people who have been through similar things to you. So, you know, even if you did change, there are always going to be another group of people that have been through the same thing and that are, you know, identifying with the same sexuality that you do. So I think knowing that is definitely something that makes you feel a lot more comfortable with doing that.
Have any of you ever had any personal experience of sort of homophobia from family members or from people who are close to you when you're coming out?
Not necessarily with family, but when I guess, came out to some... my classmates in high school, there was a lot of reluctance from some of the girls to want to carry on having a strong friendship with me, because, you know, they thought I'd instantly be attractive to them. And at the time I was really angry about it, but now when I look back on it, I just think, you know, they were probably, you know, raised in quite a sheltered way towards like LGBTQ people. And I, as much as I want to dislike them for having that view of me, I understand where that sort of ignorance comes from, and I just hope that they've been able to learn from that.
I honestly, that was the only example that I think I could have given. I think the same sort of thing, you know, when you're in high school, you obviously spend a lot of time with a lot of different people, and I think that, you know, when you do come out, a lot of people will start to think, oh, well, what if they like me? Maybe they'll like me. But as for general homophobia, I don't think I really experienced much, because my family and friends are all very accepting people. So I think that's as far as it's ever gotten, really.
In terms of my personal experience, sorry, I know I'm a host here. I'm interjecting myself a little bit. In terms of my personal experience, at high school, again, very similar things, but also just blatant biphobia and blatant nasty comments being made towards me in class. And at the time, in one given situation, there was a cover teacher in the class, and he could see what was happening, and he did nothing about it at all. There is so little support in high schools for people in the LGBT community, that the whole environment just becomes a whole lot more scary when you know that you have nobody to back you up.
Have people ever, so you call, if you call yourself bisexual, have anyone ever said to you, oh, you're straight now, if you like someone, like someone who's female or male or whatever, the opposite?
In my personal experience, I've had a lot of the, you know, half gay, half straight comments. And, you know, the problem with that is, even, you know, bisexuality as a whole is a complete, you know, spectrum. There'll always be a difference between, you know, if you have like a preference towards men or a preference towards women. Personally, I have a preference towards men. And so I have had comments in the past where, you know, I'm more just a straight person trying to fake being gay or whatever. And it's
not always 50-50.
I think so, because, well, it's really invalidating, and I feel like it makes you question yourself as well, because obviously I am a bisexual woman in a heterosexual relationship, and I feel like when you hear these comments, you feel like you start to invalidate yourself, and you feel like you start to, you know, tell yourself, right, well, you know, clearly I'm not enough to be bisexual and things like that. So I think that that's one of the things that you start to do, rather than just feeling that externally, you start to feel that within yourself as well, which I think often makes things worse, but... I think knowing that you still have an attraction to a different gender without being with that gender, yeah. You know, that's something you have to keep in mind.
I think because we live so much in a heteronormative society, and as human beings, we feel comfortable with what we understand. And for a lot of people, because they haven't had the education, what they understand is there are straight people, there are gay people. So when they hear about bisexuality, it's almost like a justification from them of like, ooh, this doesn't make sense to me. This is what it is, but it also is, at the same time, as you say, very invalidating. I've experienced myself, it is very invalidating. It makes you feel like you don't know what you want. So would you say it's a case of education?
I think yes, towards a certain point. Definitely in younger people, it is a case of not having, you know, not being exposed to education about people in the LGBT community. And also, sometimes with older people, you know, they kind of use the excuse as it wasn't like that back in my day or whatever. Mm. But I think there is a point where it is just a lack of education, and then there is like past a line where it is like purposefully ignorant.
I think the issue with education as well is a lot of people don't feel like they're educated enough to speak out on things. So they kind of, you know, sit back and just kind of let it go on because they feel like they, you know, they might say the wrong thing or they might not say enough. And they feel like they're not educated in themselves to speak out. I think a lot of that's the issue with schools and stuff, that, you know, teachers and other students don't feel like they, you know, it's their place to say things like that, or they, you know, they don't feel like they might address different matters to different students and cover everything that needs to be said. So I think, you know, people aren't hardwired to like change. So I think that's the difficult yeah. thing. Parents and grandparents, anything like that, they don't necessarily want to accept that because it wasn't like that. And I think things like that, they are expected to take a while, and it's expected to take a long time to get that change. So I think, you know, yeah.
Although from a historical perspective, and I would like to ask your opinions on this, the Stonewall riots have been very recent in terms of the timeline. So how rapid and what effect do you think the rapid kind of development of the LGBT community has had on society and perceptions, and how, where do you think it's going in terms of the future of educating people and the future of changing people's attitudes?
I think it definitely like varies from country to country, but in the UK, you know, gay marriage was only legalised in 2015 or 2013. Should know that, I'm a politics student. But it has been very recent, and our country sort of, in terms of like leaders that we've had, it kind of is more conservative, and conservatism being rooted in like traditionalism and not liking change, I think affects it as well, because having, you know, the people leading our country not wanting change that will help, you know, people like us, can have like damaging effects.
And I think in terms of like day-to-day discussion, I would say it's definitely evolving, and there's definitely more acceptance and more education. I think, you know, things like social media and things like that are definitely aiding that. And I think the ability to connect with people just outside of who you know, because obviously coming from like a small town, you don't necessarily always have that exposure. So I think, you know, the ability to access things wider than just where you're from, I think that definitely helps. But I think in terms of, you know, growth, I think it's obviously, it's been a lot more rapid, I would say, recently, as, you know, as things change and progress more, it allows other things to progress more, and I think that that then definitely, you know, leads to like a like an exponential growth of, you know, stuff. So
I was talking to my mum and dad earlier, and they're quite old, they're in the 50s, late 50s, and I was talking to them about whether they knew anyone who was gay or bisexual at school, and they said they didn't have any suspicions of anyone being gay or bisexual. So I was just thinking, are there loads and loads of older people in sort of relationships that are not what they want, unhappy people, do you think? Or do you think just that people never discovered it and just stayed ignorant?
I think there are a lot of older people that, you know, because at the time it probably would have been quite, you know, dangerous to come out. I think there are a lot of older people in the LGBT community that are in the closet still. Mm. And there's a lot more of a you know, prejudice towards older LGBTQ people. I think I've, in my personal experience, what I've seen is younger people, it's more accepted in, but like when you see like older male to female trans people come out, it's, you know, sort of laughed at because they're older, and it's one of those where usually you find that out when you're younger.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's kind of perhaps you haven't, you know, they haven't seen it because you know, the LGBT people who were in their like class felt they had to hide it for fear of them, you know.
Well, I'd say that, especially in sort of smaller towns and cities where people won't have seen gay people out at all. It would have been, they all moved to the cities. I was watching It's a Sin, and I think, although that is a dramatisation, it is still stuff that went on.
Yeah. I know from personal experience, actually, my grandparents have a friend, well, they're friends with both the people in the relationship now, but there was a woman and she was in a heterosexual relationship, like her entire life. She'd had children, she was married, and then decided at some point that she found it was appropriate to realise that that's not what she wanted to be and that that's not what she wanted to be in life. And she's now in a homosexual relationship and, you know, they've obviously got married now and everything like that. So I think it definitely does happen and it is something that happens. I also think that, you know, like in terms of like compulsory heterosexuality, I think a lot of the time that is something that seems to affect women more often, and I think the statistic is there for that. So I think, you know, people just have never seemed to feel like they have this ability to do that in the past. So I definitely think that now it's seeming more accepting in like younger people. I think the older people are then thinking, well, do you know what? If they can do it, why not? You know, I might as well do it too.
Yeah, and I also think from my experience that I think male homosexuality or bisexuality is much more sort of publicised in the media than female. Would you agree?
I do, because I think with sort of females in general, there's sort of a you know, stereotype that even if they're friends, they're all affectionate to each other, they love like kissing each other when they're drunk, things like that. So I think when a girl comes out as bisexual, it's more sort of you know, it's one of those where it's like, oh, we already know this, you know, we've seen this behaviour, even though it's based off like stereotypes and stuff. Whereas when you know, men come out as bisexual, it's sort of more of a revelation.
Although, sorry to bring the patriarchy into this discussion, but I think it is a massive discussion that needs to be had. For example, you talked about the difference in perception of bisexual women and bisexual men. In the past, we've seen, for example, in the 1600s, 1700s, it was legislated, even up until the late 1800s, that gay men could be killed for being gay. Although we have never seen such legislation put against homosexual women, although the reason for that is the patriarchy. It is men treating women as property for their own enjoyment, and so they oppress men, which seems ironic and hypocritical, men oppressing men, but usually most of the problems in society are derived from the patriarchy.
Yeah, I think the issue is that women liking women has been so over-sexualised, and so, you know, it's always been like a, oh, well, you know, if I'm a man and I was seeing two women, you know, having some sort of relationship, that they found that attractive, and like, you know, I think that's the issue, and that's probably why it doesn't get as much media coverage, because men have just always thought, you know, well, I like that, I want to see that, you know, like, that's something that they want, you know. I'm obviously stereotyping here, but I think that in general that's always been something that's been really prevalent, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, the patriarchy harms everyone, but I hate to make this, you know, explicit, but when you were talking about, you know, female homosexual relationships being over-sexualized, lesbian porn is so tailored towards men. It's ridiculous. Like, it's so stereotypical in the way that it's, you know, acted out, and it's so obvious that it's made for a man to watch and enjoy rather than women.
In terms of the porn industry, I was going to mention that the porn industry has a massive responsibility to educate people about sex and healthy sexual relationships, although it is completely doing the opposite of that in the interest of money, because as we've mentioned, lesbian porn has a massive attraction to men. It brings a lot of men into the porn industry, and that is of course inherently a problem, because the porn industry isn't teaching us it's wrong to sexualize these people. They're just providing content and material that says, well, it's okay. It's okay to do that.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of problems just with the porn industry in general.
Yeah,
In recent years, you know, with OnlyFans, you know, being a bigger platform, and, you know, you're having to pay for content, it is, you know, getting better in the way that, you know, the porn industry treats women. But there is still a huge problem there with the titles of a lot of porn. There's a lot of barely legal stuff, which is very worrying, to say the least.
I think even putting aside sexuality and just looking at the porn industry and the way
there
that
are
it's
a lot of problems.
I think just any, even like the unrealistic standards that it sets upon people, I think it definitely is damaging in pretty much every way, even if you completely got rid of the sexuality side of it. So I definitely,
Again, sorry to stay on the explicit side of things and maybe moving away from the gender and sexuality thing, but continuing to talk about the porn industry, the negative ideas that it perpetuates constantly are ridiculous. I was having a conversation with someone who made a lighthearted joke about it, but was clearly rooted in something deeper. He made a joke about how he watches amateur porn because it doesn't make him feel insecure about his body. Which just shows that the porn industry and media in general just continues to make us feel terrible about our bodies, and it is one of the biggest problems happening in society right now.
I also, just to link that to sexuality, I think it also proves a problem for people who identify as asexual, because of how like rampant the porn industry is in, you know, providing ideas about sex to everyone that watches it. I think it becomes a problem when, you know, it's sort of leaving the whole industry in general. It just takes away from the fact that, you know, some people don't like sex, they're not interested in sex. And it also puts a big sort of prejudice on people who maybe don't like sex that's on the kinkier side. You know, there's nothing wrong with having like vanilla sex, you know, it's not an issue. And I think the industry makes it seem like if you don't like having your hair pulled and being slapped, then you're not having sex right. And it's a, you know, it's an issue that's also rooted in the abuse of people.
If we look at the actual neurochemistry of porn and why it's such a lucrative business model, it's because it is essentially a drug.
Yeah.
It releases dopamine in our brain. And as with any drug, every time you get a hit, it becomes progressively less intense, which is why we get the idealization of this rough porn, kinky porn, whatever, because it is more extreme and it's pushing the boundaries of how extreme can we get.
Just to link back to sexuality, I think as well the thing with porn is it tries to define sex as certain acts and certain things to be doing. I think especially with like just gay women in general, I think the stereotypes that are put onto what their sex should be defined as, I think that is something that negatively affects them as well. Because, you know, sex is and should be whatever you want it to be, and whatever, you know, acts and certain things that you want to be doing, they count as whatever you want to define them as. And I think that then means that the education for, you know, homosexual students, especially in like sex ed and things like that, they're not spoken about because people only think of these stereotypes for what sex should be as from porn, and they obviously aren't.
Okay, so we've looked at the negative side of porn, but do you also think there's maybe a positive in it helps people access their own sexuality, it helps people find out more about their sexuality, and it helps them learn more about themselves?
I think sort of bordering on when you get like free porn, but more in terms of, you know, like paid sex work, because sex work is real work. I don't care who says it isn't, it is.
It is, 100%.
Yeah, and I think, you know, paid sex work, especially in sort of the female LGBT community, that side of it, it is seems to be like a good way of people being able to express their sexuality, provide their own boundaries towards what they're comfortable with, and get paid at the same time. So,
yeah, I think that obviously looking on the positive side, that it does try and somewhat reduce the stigma and reduce things like that, and show people that they are allowed to, you know, sort of present themselves in a more sexual way, and that that is okay and that is valid, and that being able to, you know, sort of present a different side to yourself is, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, and if that is something that you enjoy, that's perfectly okay. And I think that having this platform to be able to show, you know, younger people, you know, obviously, you know, you're thinking that you're expressing this to like a younger audience and stuff, as they're developing and as they're growing up and things like that, that presenting a side of yourself that isn't typically, you know, conservative, or that isn't typically you know trying to like cover yourself up all the time, that is, you know, that is okay to do.
So do you think that there is a over-sexualisation of men to gay women?
I think definitely, yeah. There is sort of the problem with female homosexual relationships being over-sexualised, and, you know, a lot of, not a lot of men, but there are men who, you know, view it as entertainment for them, and it is like a problem, because, you know, women in general, and women in relationships with other women or female presenting people, you know, it's for them, it's not for anyone else's view.
I think it's very difficult to do, because I'm obviously judging this from today's standards, and I'm looking at, you know, what is appropriate now and what isn't appropriate now. And even when you're watching films from like 10 or so years ago, there will be male characters that are, they are visually, you know, getting stimulated from women kissing women. It is, you know, it's hyped, it's, you know, kind of like pressured, and there, you know, there'll be female characters and like, oh yeah, well, you know, you get drunk and kiss and whatever. And I think that judging that from today's standards, I definitely think, you know, that's not okay now. But I think because there's been so much exposure to it in the past, it's definitely something that's hard to get out of.
And then there are cases such as on the London bus where LGBT people and lesbian people are assaulted, harassed. The two women in particular were told to make out by a group of men, and then when they didn't, they were battered. And so I think not only the attitude towards the LGBT community and the mixture of all of these very toxic ingredients, it leads to not only an oppressive but a dangerous environment for lesbian women.
Yeah, I agree. I think you'll find with a lot of LGBTQ oppression stems from sort of gender oppression as well, and the other way around. It all is kind of interlinked, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just the double standards of stuff that, you know, that you know, women that like women are over sexualized, and then from the same male they will think that male, you know, homosexual relationships are absolutely disgusting, and that shouldn't be allowed, and that they then can't see that if, you know, there is a possibility for a woman to like a woman, that there's also going to be a possibility for anybody of any gender to like anybody else of any gender.
What do you think about, you were talking about older media, do you think they should be censored and removed, or do you think there should be warnings put up? What do you think about that?
I think a warning at the beginning is, you know, a great idea. In terms of, you know, removing them and, you know, we're going into, like, censorship here, but, again, it sort of goes into, like, political grounds, which, unfortunately, a lot of things to do with the LGBTQ community will. And it sort of perpetuates the point that all, you know, left-wing people want to censor views from the right wing.
Council culture.
Yeah. And so I think if the producer of the old pieces of media or the people who own the rights to it decide to remove it from what they're selling or what they're releasing, then that's completely within their own right. That's okay. But it's kind of difficult when the people who have released the old media are still okay with having it out there. And it's sort of, it's difficult on where the line is to tell them to take it down or to have it left up.
Yeah, I was going to make a similar point. I think the issue is, you know, where do you start and when do you stop? Because I think that being able to see the progression of things through time and being able to see, you know, what the standards were like of then and what the standards are compared to now, I think being able to see that and being able to, you know, physically watch that from past media and stuff like that definitely shows, you know, like a timeline of, you know, how things have evolved, which I definitely think is still needed. And I think that taking it down and, you know, it when do you stop then? You know, what things do you take down? Do you take down things that are just blatantly homophobic or things that have, you know, homophobic undertones or things that are just, you know, things that were embedded into society then and aren't now? It's just things like that.
But then, again, I was having a conversation with someone about history and how to use history, and particularly it's a learning experience of, well, this happened in the past, how do we not repeat this from happening again? And I think the same case applies to homophobic media, LGBT-phobic media in general from the past. Instead of cancelling it or putting warnings on it, perhaps we should take it and use this as a blaring example of this is what it is and this is wrong and this is how we don't do it again.
I think there'll definitely be more media in the future, you know, films and songs and such that will somewhat counteract that and show that there's been, you know, this evolution of like the LGBTQ community, and that will show that, you know, there's been an expansion of it, and that the, you know, that these are now films that have been released that are more inclusive and that are more diverse.
Yeah, I think it's like important to reiterate the point that learning from history is so important, and there will always be people who will see these examples and think, well, it was okay then, it's okay now, but the majority of people who have just a shred of empathy and sympathy will understand that these are examples to work by and to make sure it doesn't happen again.
But then there is also, unfortunately, the autonomy of perception. When you have media that is given to people in any context, whether it is supportive or as an example of what's happened in the past, people will always have their own perceptions of it and they will always form their own opinions about it, and sometimes that will not always be positive. As humans, when do you think we will reach the point, if ever, where society is generally, totally, or at least getting on the way to being totally accepting of the LGBT community?
In terms of just being accepting in general, I think it will be hard to work towards the point, but it is possibly attainable. The problem with sort of living in our society in terms of like capitalism and you know, like class oppression, is there will always be a sense of oppression there, because that is just how our system works, which is very, very unfortunate. But, you know, unless there is a system change, I don't think we'll be able to progress as much as we would like to.
I think there'll definitely be some sort of progression. I think that being able to see something firsthand and from somebody's perspective that's been, you know, affected by, you know, any sort of homophobia or anything like that, and being able to learn from that because you've seen it firsthand, I definitely think that's what allows, you know, some sort of evolution to occur. And I definitely think that basically, when things are subjective and when you can interpret it, you learn from that, and you then can pass on your views to, say, your children or, you know, friends. And I think that being around people that have learnt from things like that and have experienced it, that then allows a form of progression, because, you know, I would raise my children with similar views to me, which I think are open-minded and expressive and things like that. And I think that's sort of how it will change.
I think that until the time where everybody knows someone who is LGBTQ, then that'll be the point where everyone's sort of skipping in harmony. Because when you know someone who is LGBT, you'll know that they're similar to you, and you'll know that they're not evil. There's nothing wrong with being gay.
You can have a view on something and you can think that something's horrible, but when you've loved someone for a very long time, say as a family member or a friend, and they then come out and you were opposed to that before, I think it definitely makes you see it from a different point of view, because now what do you do? Do you actually completely reject that person that you love? Because they've always been that person. Yeah. And they've always, you know, had that side to them. And I think that then once you've seen that and you know that that person is still that person, regardless of their gender or their sexuality, their expression, that is when people tend to become more accepting.
Yeah. I think it's just important to be open-minded about, you know, people's sexuality and gender identities.
And I think it's important to realise that from a completely selfish perspective, from us three, I'm not sure about if Will could echo this, but from a completely selfish perspective, sexuality is about us. It's not about them. So it's the point where people realise this is their journey, not ours. And it's realising that just because you are a sexuality or you are a certain gender, it's not a defining factor in your life. They're not watching you have sex. They're not watching you have surgeries if you're a transgender person. So, yeah, I think, to be honest, that wraps the episode up quite well. We've discussed a very wide range.
That was a nice ending.
Good circle.
That was a very good speech. Good episode. So
Cut!
We will end there and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Open Ends podcast. I'm your host, Josh Aaron.
I'm your other host, Will Dixon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.